This week is Palliative Care Week, and every year around this time of year, I always do a series of interviews about some aspect of palliative care, usually by visiting the unit near University Hospital Kerry and talking to both staff and patients there. Now, this year, we're going to focus in on palliative care for children, which I know is a very sad sort of a topic in many respects. But on the other hand, it is good to know that there is so much wonderful support there for families going through a palliative care journey with their child. Now, I headed up to the centre earlier in the week and I met with Karen Lovett, who is a clinical nurse coordinator for children with life-limiting conditions. She's based here in Kerry. I also met with consultant in palliative medicine, Mags Clifford, and spoke to both of those about Palliative Care Week and about the services that are there for children with life-limiting illnesses. You'll be hearing both from Mags and from Karen through the course of the interview I'm about to play for you now. But primarily, I spoke to a fabulous couple called Amanda and Jason Ahern. Now, Amanda and Jason are from Castlemaine, and I think the worst thing that could happen, any parents happened to them. They lost their little daughter, Chloe, to cancer, and she was only 5 years old. So a pretty harrowing story, as you can imagine. But in fairness to Amanda and Jason, they were absolutely determined to do this interview because they wanted to stress to any other parents out there who might be going through a similar journey, the wonderful support that is available here in Kerry and the wonderful people they met, albeit in the worst of circumstances, during their journey with their little daughter. So you will first of all hear from, now later on, you, as I said, you'll hear from both Karen Lovett and from Mags Clifford. But first of all, we'll hear from Jason. And at the outset, I told him to tell us a little bit about Chloe and the kind of little girl she was.
You know, I suppose Chloe always had us laughing, you know, from the day she was able to, you know, to talk. Like, she always had us, laughing. Yeah, she was a beautiful child, you know, in every way, really, you know. And, you know, she had that kind of roguish side to her as well, which we loved. You know, she could push the boundaries now and again as well, which was, she was into everything, really. She loved playing. She loved her older brother. You know, she loved spending time with him, spending time with her mom and dad, animals, horses. You know.
Yeah, I believe she loved horses.
She loved horses. Yeah, she did. She loved horses. You know, I remember there at COVID times. You know, just the simple things, going for walks and her swing. She had a swing at home and her playground, and she loved all that. Just the simple kind of simple things in life, really. You know, I suppose at that age, that's all that Adam would have had as well, like the simple things in life, yeah.
And what about you, Amanda? What are your standout memories of Chloe and her personality?
Yeah, she was just a very kind and gentle person, childlike. You know, she was so caring. She just loved giving. You know, she just emitted love. Like, she just wanted to make people happy. You know, this was, she was just a very, very special child. And even, like, everybody was mad about her, and, like, I'd say her family and her friends. But then we'd meet people that might have only just met her for a minute or two once in her lifetime, like, and she just kind of had an impact on people. She was just, it's like the X factor that they say, you know. She just had it. Like, she was a
special girl. And what did she like to do? What was like, did she ride horses, or did she just like looking at them, or did she have other things she was mad into?
Oh yeah, she loved horse riding, and she loved just playing and around with her brother and her cousins. Like, that was her dust, and making cubbies and up to mischief, and that was her main kind of thing, really.
No, Amanda, I'm not going to ask you all about her illness and her diagnosis and all of that, because, you know, we don't need to go down there. But how important was it that you had Karen and Mags and all the team here when Chloe was very sick?
Yeah, I suppose it kind of, so Chloe was diagnosed with neuroblastoma in September 2020. So she was only three and a half kind of at that stage. And like that, it was just horrendous, the treatment and everything that she had to go through. And but we put her through it because we thought that she was going to get better out of it. Well, we knew it was a serious thing at the start. But after a year, then almost a year to the day, she relapsed again. And again, it just blew us all apart. Like, and we thought that we put the head down again, and we thought that this might be just our setback and keep going. You know, if you don't have hope in them situations, you kind of have nothing. And we went at it again then, so into the second year, and she kind of seemed to be pulling away through it. She had to go through chemotherapy and radiotherapy and all the likes of it, but she was going okay, like she was getting on okay. And there seemed to be kind of an end in sight to treatment, and things were kind of starting to wind up a little bit in Dublin, and her Freddie lines there is where she'd get the chemo through. They were to come out, so things were, we knew that there was all, like, that this was a serious illness that she had, but things looked to be kind of on the way up, like. And she was like, that was to be getting her Freddies out. She got them out on the 29th of June, and she was after, she'd gone to school for a little bit. She started school around, I think around February. So she'd done a couple of months of school and things. And we're just kind of facing in the summer, really. We were kind of into the middle of the summer, and we thought that things were going in the right direction. And then kind of just mid-July, one Sunday, we just thought that things weren't right, and came into, brought her into Tralee, and they carried for an ultrasound, and they could just see that the cancer was back, and very, very aggressively. So again, we were ended up above in Dublin then, and we thought that, you know, maybe there might be something else that they could throw at it to try and keep it at bay, but it just didn't look like that was what it was going to be. So we left Dublin then to come home again back to Kerry. And I suppose initially we had heard the word palliative care in Dublin, and I suppose I would have had a lot of experience with palliative care in adults, kind of, and knowing what the word palliative meant, like. And we were like all kind of ideas of, like, what we were going to, we knew our time was limited then, and what we were going to do with it, and what we were going to try and get to achieve for Chloe in that time. And I suppose leaving Dublin, us and kind of professionals thought that we might have been facing with, you know, weeks or months or something, but it was 2 weeks and 4 days from the day that we left Dublin, I suppose, to Chloe's coming to the end.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's where Karen would have came into play. So I suppose that's where it was on. I suppose she was on the case while we were still in transit, kind of, mm-hmm, coming.
Was COVID going on while all this was happening?
No. Well, I suppose it would have been kind of while she was in treatment. When she was in treatment, yeah, it was all COVID. Like, yeah, everything was locked up. You know, myself and Jason couldn't even be together in Dublin with Chloe. You know, if Jason was inside with her, and then you'd know what medicine she'd need, or how her day went, or what she'd eat, or what needed to be done. But we'd have to ring first, so I'd have to ring Jason. Oh yeah, I'll be on the way now, I'd be in 2 minutes. Like, if I was over in the Ronald McDonald or up in the parents' accommodation, we'd talk on the phone what needs to be done, and like, we had like 30 seconds in the room when we'd have to change over again. But I suppose when it was coming to 2022, COVID kind of had abated a bit, like, so we had just kind of came home with Chloe then, thinking that we'd, you know, start to make memories, as they say. But
yeah. And just to give you a break for a second, to come back to Jason, talking about the making memories there, that's so important, isn't it? Can you remember some of the things you would have done with her in the last few weeks when you knew that the inevitable was going to happen?
I suppose from the point of leaving Dublin, things declined fairly rapidly. When we got home that last time, there was no... she didn't bounce back like she always did bounce back from things. It was, we were kind of on a downward spiral, really, from that. So I suppose more or less straight away, since we came from Dublin, you know, she was a lot tireder. That we had things to, you know, being honest about it, we had things in our head that we wanted to do with Chloe. We thought we might get away for a few days, or we thought a lot of things. We didn't know what to think, but it wasn't like that at all. She wasn't well enough to, mm-hmm, to do anything, really, in the lines of that. Like, but we did have things at home. I suppose when Karen was introduced, we put our paw prints on a canvas, and just simple things like that. But they meant an awful lot, and to this day, they still mean so much to me and Amanda. Like, yeah, mm-hmm, you know, because at the time, I suppose, there was so much going on around in the head, and things was hard to come to terms with everything, like, you know. But I suppose them little things today, you know, we still have a butterfly in our room that came from that, and different things. But as for making the memories at that time, of course, we had memories, and we had beautiful moments in the last week or two with her, of course. But the illness had
the illness had progressed.
Yeah. You know, and I suppose all the way through her illness, we would never have known Chloe to be down. She was always bouncy. She always fought back. She'd come home from a week of chemotherapy and she'd be out in the back lawn with her brother, you know. So this was a new kind of a thing for her to be thrown down and tired and things like that. She went through her treatment very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And was it important to you, Amanda, that she would have her last days at home with you in Castlemaine?
Yeah, I suppose initially when we'd heard that it happened, was, you know, my mother would have passed away at a young enough age, and I had grandparents, a lot of people, and aunts or an uncle, and I suppose I was quite afraid of it, really, was what I had seen. And I had, I suppose, a bit of experience of being inside in the inpatient unit in Tralee as well with adults, and I had just seen the difference between the two, and I just kind of thought that, oh, the inpatient unit was a lot more manageable or something. And Karen had said then that, you know, that we actually don't have children in the unit, that it would be in kind of, she'd be in hospital or at home. So like, while I always wanted to have, I suppose it's not something I wanted to have, I never thought of that being the scenario with Chloe, but I suppose I was afraid very much to be at home, and the things, how quickly the situation can change, and how someone can go from, like, that 2 weeks prior to that, Chloe was bouncing around the place, like off the trampoline, having a barbecue, and then we're facing this with thinking to be weeks, but it was like 2 weeks and 4 days. You know, it was just a big thing. So I was just afraid of how things, would we be able to manage it? Would we be able for it at home, you know? And just have, I suppose Karen was able to come on there with the reassurance that there would be, you know, somebody there, that we wouldn't be doing it on our own, kind of. I suppose we'd, you know, done an awful lot of the looking after Chloe at home on our own. We were out in red weather warnings, you know, heading for the hospital with her at times with temperatures, and, you know, managing things, and, you know, NG lines coming out and trying to sort them things ourselves. So Karen was very reassuring, you know, that we wouldn't be alone with it. And she said, oh, she said, I think I know a night nurse that just might suit you. And you know, she came to us, Nancy, and she was just amazing altogether, you know, just the reassurance, like, you know, that there was somebody else there as well. Yeah. And like, I think they just have this amazing gift, like, of, they're like kind of like an invisible cloak, you know, that they can be there but not there. They just have this ability to be able to, you know, just to drift into the background, really, but you know that they're there watching every breath, watching everything that's happening. Joe, myself and Jason were able to be there with Chloe, and Nancy was just there in the corner, and like, that was like, she wasn't there, but she was there.
So you could concentrate on being mom and dad rather than minding her and doing the medical side of things in the last days and hours. How important was it for you that you had such wonderful support around you, Jason?
It was very important. It was very important at that time, because, you know, I suppose, like Amanda was saying, if we didn't have that support, our time would have been taken up with what to do, and we'd have been wondering what to do next for her. Whereas, I suppose, for that last couple of days, we were able to be with her, spend time with her. You know, I mean, we had massive support. You know, and I suppose, you know, it's a kind of a thing that, you know, a lot of parents don't have to think about or to go through, and you would be very much afraid of everything, you know. I certainly was, anyway, you know. And you know, I suppose trying to manage all that, it's just it is very hard. But like Amanda said, like, when Karen was in the house, you know, it was just that comfort where we knew that they were there. You know, it meant an awful lot.
If you had questions or anything.
Exactly, yeah, or medicines or different things. You know, it was great to have the help. Yeah.
And Karen, you remember Chloe very well too, obviously.
I do. And I suppose as Jason and Amanda spoke about, when I got to know Chloe, she was like that spark, I suppose, had lessened a little bit in her, because her I suppose her cancer had advanced. But I do remember Chloe from coming in and out to Cashel when she was going through her chemo, and like, the nurses up in Cashel ward were wow, like, she had such a fabulous personality and that great spark that Amanda and Jason talk about. And I do remember her skipping in and out to the ward despite her chemo, despite her having temperatures. You know, once her temperature would get under control, she'd be good. And, you know, so I have that lovely, you know, memory of Chloe. And then I suppose in those final days, like I do have a strong memory of Chloe being in Jason and Amanda's room with them, and they on either side of her, and, you know, having that space with her. And that was, you know, that was so tough, but at the same time, in a really difficult way, it was beautiful that she was right there and they were right beside her, knowing that their family was up in the kitchen, and knowing that they could go out to the yard if they needed to get 5 minutes of a break. You know, that they didn't have to go through a hospital ward, that they could do that if they wanted to get that space. And, you know, like that collaboration between the ICS, between the Laura Lynn, with Dr. Meggs, you know, with the CNSs, like it really does take the collaboration of the whole team to support a family to stay at home. And it is lovely to hear Amanda and Jason say that they felt that.
Finally, I just want to come back to you, Megs. Now, obviously, we would hope that no parent would ever have to go through what Amanda and Jason went through, and they would say that themselves, I'm sure. But in a way, I suppose today is about reassuring parents that, God forbid, if this does come to their door, there is such fabulous support here in this unit and beyond, in the whole wider service.
Yeah, absolutely, that the support is there. And I think you know, it's amazing what Amanda and Jason have given today in telling Chloe's story. You know, I think it's such a powerful story. And, you know, I suppose, as you've heard, I too remember witnessing, you know, what an amazing little girl she was, you know. And I remember being there one of the days in the house, and we were sitting in the sitting room, just again trying to be in the background a little bit and not encroach on their privacy. And she was in the other room, and she actually came in and walked around the room and went out again, kind of more or less to show us, I'm strong enough to do this now, you know, just so you know, kind of thing, you know. So and you have those amazing moments, and I suppose there is something very special about it happening at home. But yes, absolutely, the support is there. And I suppose, just to say, unfortunately, Chloe's illness progressed so exceptionally quickly, really, you know, quicker than really any of us would have predicted. But there are other children in different circumstances, different illnesses, that sometimes may require the input of palliative care services for quite a prolonged period, you know. And we do sometimes have children on our books for, you know, 2 years, 3 years sometimes, you know. So it doesn't always mean that the end is close if a child is being referred to palliative care. And I suppose really the most important message is really the living for today and planning for tomorrow, that the really palliative care is about enabling everybody, child, adult, any age, to live their best life for their whole life, right up until they die, despite having very serious illness that might be interfering with quality of life. We're here just to try to make that better as much as we can, and support those around the child, you know, as they're coming to the end of their life.
And that was Mags Clifford, who is consultant in palliative medicine here in Kerry, ending that report. And you also heard from Karen Lovett, clinical nurse coordinator for children with life-limiting conditions in Kerry. And most importantly, you heard from Amanda and Jason Ahern from Castlemaine, talking so lovingly and with such gratitude speaking so lovingly about Chloe, their little daughter, who sadly they lost to cancer, but speaking with such warmth and gratitude about the kindness and the professionalism they encountered within the palliative care services here in Kerry as well. And that interview cannot have been easy for Amanda and Jason, but they did it with such sincerity and such compassion. So well done to them for speaking out and maybe giving a little bit of comfort out there to other parents who might be going through a similar journey. You'll be hearing more throughout the week, I would say, not necessarily here on Talk About, but in the media throughout the week, you'll be hearing a lot more about Palliative Care Week. And they have a lovely motto, I think, and theme for this week, which is all about living for today, planning for tomorrow, which I think is a nice sentiment as well.